You're listening to TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
Internet Talk Radio. Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earle and David Spada.
Okay, about 29 past the hour. David, it's good to have Brian McCaskey on. Got a longtime friend and, of course, a guy that worked his way up from the bottom, man. Taped ankles. Taped my ankles. And the reason that I went to his table all the time, because he was damn good.
Oh, exactly. I mean, this guy learned how to run an organization from the start. Basically, the same way George Halas did everything, he was doing everything. And again, he's still negotiating with Virginia for a salary.
Absolutely. Hey, let's bring a guy on that I'm really excited to talk to. this guy played 16 years in the National Football League out of Boston College. He probably knows Tom Waddle a little bit. Well, a guy in the media here in the Chicago area. But Bill Romanowski, how you doing, Bill?
Fantastic. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm trying to think. Are you West Coast, East Coast? Where are you located?
I'm in. It's morning here, but I know it's afternoon where you are.
He's on the left coast.
So you're on the left coast, out there
in California. I am on the West Coast.
Fantastic, man. Hey, thanks for coming on. You know, when David had mentioned that you had made contact with your office and so forth, and I see you've got a company now, Nutrition 53. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, man, I tell you, the Barely Legal Show really fits here a little bit. I mean, you got under some people's skin once in a while. I played 9 years, pro football, but, I wasn't much of an agitator. You know, of course, linebackers, you got under some people's skin a little bit, Bill. But you know what? The thing is, I remember you as a Raider. I mean, of all the teams that you played for, the Eagles, the 49ers, the Broncos, but why is it is about the Raiders that stands out in my mind more than any other team?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because a lot of people, because I ended my career there, it's like for some reason they always thought of me like a Raider. You know, it's a little bit of a throwback, a guy that was going to get in your head, you know, who was going to play, you know, a little bit beyond the whistle at times. And it was going to be, hey, it was going to be a, if you're going to go against me, it was going to be a long day for you.
There you go.
That was my mindset is, you know, it was going to be a 60-minute battle. And on every single play, and I had this mindset that I had to play this way, otherwise I'd get killed.
Bill Davis.
And if I didn't play that hard, you know, there was no way I could compete in the NFL.
Bill, David Spada here. When I watched
How you, doing, David?
Good. When I watched you play, you reminded me of the Bear linebackers back in the mid-80s with Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson. You just left your heart on the field, threw your body all over the place. I think Buddy Ryan would have loved to have you as a linebacker on his teams.
Well, I'll give you a little story. Buddy came to see me up at Boston College.
Okay.
And he walked in. We looked at a little film. And he looked in my eyes, and he walked out. And that was it.
That was it.
That was it. And literally, every time I played a team that he was coaching on, it's like I just had something. I just had to go even that much harder. And it's funny when his son was the defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, in Oakland. I went and talked to him. And he said, you know what? My dad, you know what he said about you? Is he said, he wasn't that crazy about you at Boston College, but he said, you turned yourself, this guy turned himself into a football player. That's what he said to Rob, his son. He said, Bill Romanowski was not the most intense guy in college, but he knew he had to take himself to a dark place, and he did that. And man, did I miss one with him.
Wow. You know, Buddy Ryan, yeah. Buddy Ryan was a neighbor of mine for 7 years. When he was coaching here. And of course, Rob and Rex were ball boys, when I played. I'm just a little bit ahead of you. It looks like, see, you came in the
when
league.
When did you retire?
My last year was 85 in the USFL. I spent 7 in Chicago with the Bears, 77 through 83, okay. And then a couple years in the USFL. It looks like you came in 1988 when the money started getting good.
It just kind of, it just started.
Yeah.
You know, free agency hit, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later. And, you know what? I did well, and it was a great ride for me, though.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
They could have paid me a pack of bubble gum, and I would have gone out and did what I did because I
love
playing the game of football.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, what? Give us your interpretation with this Tommy Harris incident against the Arizona Cardinals. Did you see that little incident fourth play of the game? Yeah.
You know, I did, and you know, I've been in a dark place like that. I've done things that. I mean, I spit in a guy's face.
Yeah.
On Monday Night Football,
Monday
national
Night Football.
TV, J.J. Stokes. You know, so I understand. I've been there, done it. The best thing he can do is just, you know, eat humble pie and say, you know what? That was a big mistake.
What do you mean by
a dark? I crossed a line that I shouldn't have crossed.
Yeah. What do you mean by a dark place?
You know what? Bottom line. If you're going to try to, you know, if you're going to whack somebody in the head or do something along those lines, you know, I mean, bottom line, to play the game of football and to play defense, there's a certain place you got to, I always had to go to a really dark place, you know, because I felt like it was either, you know, kill or be killed. And we talk all the time and made references of we're going to war. Let's knock the crap out of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's,
mm-hmm.
you know, kill the quarterback. You know, let's knock this guy out of the game. And if for 1 second you think that doesn't happen, you don't get it because you never played football.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen, but it's more of it's kind of said behind doors because if you can knock out the first string quarterback, you have a better chance of winning with the backup.
I agree there. Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk to our Bears defense because I don't know what place they're in. They're in La La Land.
I tell you what, I'd like to take them to a dark place.
Yeah.
You know, and get them ready because I tell you what Vernon Davis had to say in the press, that better be plastered all over the locker room. That better be plastered over the plane, the bus, their hotel room, their locker room when they get ready at Candlestick.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I'd be furious. Now you're getting me fired up.
I want you fired up.
That's what the Barely Legal Show is all about. Hey, let me, you know, it just, it, yeah, you're the type of guy that you took it upon yourself to get ready to play. I mean, look at 4 Super Bowl champs, played actually 5 of them, 2-time All Pro, 2-time Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, the teams, did you ever play with Matt Millen? Was he a teammate of yours?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now he was a little bit of a yabby mouth because I played across.
Oh,
I played
was.
Across I, from him. I mean, he talked the whole game.
Oh, he never stopped.
Never
you
stopped.
Know what he would do? Here's what he would do is he would walk up to every ref. He knew them all by name. He knew their wife's name and their kid's name.
That was unbelievable. Yes,
and
he did.
And you know what he would do? He would clothesline people 15 yards downfield, and he wouldn't get called for it. And I was like, man, and I would spear somebody, and before you know it, there's every time there was a flag. You know, but some way, he had a way with refs, and he played it right. I hated refs. I wanted nothing to do with them. I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to look at them. They were the enemy to me.
They're the enemy. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your post-NFL career. And, wow, you've a longest yard, the bench warmers, wieners, or whiners, bedtime stories,
yeah,
get smart.
Wieners,
how did you get into Hollywood? What happened there, man?
Well, I left because of a bunch of concussions. And I got a call from Adam Sandler when he was getting ready to do the longest yard. And I basically got a call one day from a 310 area code. He says, hey, Romanowski, Adam Sandler here.
Wow,
said,
how about that call?
What, literally that. And he says, hey, I'm doing this movie. How'd you like to be in it? It's going to be the remake of Longest Yard.
Great movie, like, by the way. Great
man,
movie.
That's like one of my all-time favorites.
Wasn't Burt Reynolds in the remake?
Absolutely, Burt was
in there. Yeah.
He was the coach.
Yeah.
And had an absolute ball doing it. And, you know, between Chris Rock, Burt Reynolds, Adam Sandler, all the guys that were in it, it was a great cast, a lot of fun. And, you know, he kept putting me in a bunch of his projects. And now Adam's he's a good friend. And you know why he's successful, because he does it the right way, mm-hmm. and he takes care of his guys.
That's got to be so cool. I mean, yeah. You know, for the average person looking on the inside, they're going, wow. I mean, well, you know, see, the first Longest Yard came out when I was in college, and that was with Sonny Sixkiller was in that movie, remember? I don't know if you remember, Sonny played at the University of Washington. He was a quarterback. He had just graduated when I became I was a freshman in 1973. So I remember, Don James, our head coach at the time, getting ready to play a big game against USC in 1975. He played that film the night before and it got us jacked. I think that's one of the big reasons we want to beat the Trojans that next day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Bill,
who
was your favorite coach to play for?
I'd have to say, at the end of the day, probably Mike Shanahan. You know, I was at a time where I was very mature in, what I had done in the NFL. And I had breakout years in Denver. And literally, I knew Denver was a defensive leader away from winning a Super Bowl. I knew offensively with John Elway and McCaffrey and Terrell Davis, I knew they had, a good, assemble of guys offensively, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I didn't see any leadership there. And when I got there, I was very well received, and Mike listened to me. Like the first thing I did, I was there a week, and I was like, okay, we got an issue here. Guys are walking in the locker room in the morning with McDonald's, bags of McDonald's and eating egg McMuffins and stuff like that. I said, mm-hmm. I went up to Mike. I said, Mike, we need to provide breakfast. Let's provide breakfast, have them come in. We'll eat together. It will bring the team closer together, tighter. I had them start making protein shakes in the morning for us. We had a full-time guy making protein shakes all day for us whenever we wanted them. So I started really, implementing things that were very progressive in that day, and it really helped because we were nutritionally sound, we were strong, we were fast, we were focused, and we were a team.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing now, aren't you? Something with nutritional supplements?
Yeah, that's, and because nutrition had such a big impact in my career, and I researched, I studied, I met with, it's like I had a team of doctors and scientists that I could call at any time. And basically what I did is I brought them together and I said, you know what? I want to build life-changing products. I want to build products that work. Forget all this stuff about bodybuilding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I want to help people get lean. Okay. I want to help people get smarter, more focused, help them sleep better. So we have four products. We have a sleep product called Sleep One. Mm-hmm. We have a focus mental performance product called Neuro One. Mm-hmm. We have a leaning product, which is a meal replacement protein product called Lean One. And then we have a staple, which everybody needs, is a multivitamin called Multi One. And, all the people I know in Hollywood, there's people, on my products. It took care of, been taking care of Tiger Woods with my Neuro One. Mm-hmm. He loves it. Will not start his day without Neuro One. Mm-hmm. I had A-Rod taking Neuro One and Sleep One, through, the World Series run. So I got a lot of NFL guys now taking my product and, very rewarding to be able to give back in that way.
Yeah. I see here on your website, nutrition53.com. The listening audience can go to that website. That's nutrition53.com. I see you've got a little video here. Welcome to nutrition and so forth. The one picture that's on the website, You look pretty cut there. Is that your wife or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife and I.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, couple of great looking couple there.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. Yeah.
Bill, did you ever think about getting into coaching? I mean, your ideas with nutrition and with the way to play football, did you ever think about or get approached about being a coach?
Well, I actually put my name in the hat for the Broncos job.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And I literally
right.
presented a 30 to 40 page business plan on what I would do to transform the Denver Broncos and bring them back to Super Bowl status.
Do you want to send that plan to the Chicago Bears because I am sick of Lovie Smith.
Jeez,
I tell you what, I would change things real fast and I'd have guys playing together and giving it up for one another, playing with heart, soul, passion, and really, that's the difference. It's a lot of teams have talent, but not a lot of teams are real teams where mm-hmm. they really will go out and fight for the guy next to them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that is really what separates and makes, you know, you got to have guys willing to give it up for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the great teams I was on, that's what we had. You know, when I got to Denver, we were a separated team. Before you know it, I mean, we're going out after games together. We're getting together during the week. We would have Halloween parties where we'd do, you know, we'd run out kind of a dance club. And, you know, we would just go and bring the wives and we built kind of a family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we had that in San Francisco. I learned a lot of that, you know, by the way they did things at the 49ers. I learned how not to do things in Philadelphia.
Who was your coach in Philly?
I had Ray Rhodes was my second coach,
Ray Rhodes,
he started
right.
to turn things around, but it was Rich Kotite my first year.
Terrific.
And, you know, so there was a changing of the guard, and mm-hmm. now with Andy Reid, they've moved in a better direction. They're a better run organization than they were back then. You know, the Denver Broncos tier class, as you all know, 49ers with Singletary, they're trying to get back on track. They don't have enough talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to be a heck of a matchup. I can't wait to see this game. And I want to see, you know what? I want to see the Chicago Bears knock the crap out of Vernon Davis. That's what I want to see.
They may get their opportunity.
But who's going to do it?
They better.
Who's going to do it? Tommy Harris is soft.
What he did, and I'm a Bay Area guy.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed off by what he said. That's just something you don't do.
No.
Okay? You know, you don't call out another team and say, you know what, they don't show me anything on film. They're nothing special. They're just a bunch of guys. They got, you know, one defensive lineman that's pretty good.
Yeah. We're going to rip them up.
Linebackers,
Bill, who's going to do it, though, on the Bears? The Bears are soft. These defensive players don't have the mentality.
Well, they better get it. And they better get it fast. They better find it. They got heart. They got soul. They got passion. They just got to find it. It's down in there, and you got to bring that out, Lovie Smith. Somehow, some way, you got to have your Bears flying around like they really love the game of football.
You know what they love? Tommy Urlacher, the money. That's all they care about. Fasher got the money. He quit playing.
A lot of them did, man.
The only one playing hard is Alex Brown, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. You know what? And, you know, Jay Cutler, I mean, there's a part, I'm a Jay Cutler fan every other week. I want to be a Jay Cutler fan every week.
Why aren't you every week?
He's got to do it every week.
Right.
You know, he's got a bonehead throw or two in him every other week. And, you know, to be in that upper echelon of quarterbacks like the Brady's, like the Mannings, you've got to elevate everybody around you, and you can't make the bonehead throws. You can't throw interceptions. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he's up and down. And I know it's a team game, but I tell you what, the two most important positions in an organization are the head coach and the quarterback.
There you go.
And I tell you what, It's amazing what a quarterback can do, you know, to inspire the rest of the team to believe that they can win a world championship.
You had some great ones. You had Montana, you had Young, you had Elway. And the Raiders, you had, Rich Gannon?
Rich Gannon, yeah.
Yep, Rich Gannon when we were in Oakland, which Rich was, you know, not a lot of guys liked Rich because, you know, he would get pissed off when guys wouldn't work that hard or work as hard as him. You know, but he was more like me. He was maniacal about what he would do to put in to going out there and winning. And you got to realize that everybody's not going to do what you do. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, one thing you can get out of somebody when you're flying around out on a practice field is if people don't fly around on defense in practice, they're not going to do it in a game.
But Lovey doesn't tackle in practice.
Yep. Hey, I wonder if Tommy Harris is listening to this. That would be really good. Hey, Bill, Bill, we've got to get to our next segment, but, what the Bears need is your passion and what, you know, I mean, that's all we're missing here a little bit. Some guys just want to get up and play the damn game and play it right. And you certainly did that when you were a player and thanks for coming on, man. I enjoyed listening to you, but man, I'd love to walk in your shoes on some of those studio sets, man. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
But
no, it was a lot of fun. Any of your listeners that would like free samples of my product,
I'd like some.
Go to nutrition53.com.
Okay.
They can also get a free copy of my book, Romo, My Life on the Edge. So when they click on getting a free sample, there's also a section there where they can get a free autographed copy of my book, Romo, My Life on the Edge. And that's just a gift from me just to say, hey, this is what it took for this small town boy to make it in the NFL. And this is where all that passion, heart, soul, intensity came from.
Then fantastic. Hey, I can, Christine, I'll give her a call. I'll get your cell number, Bill, and, I'll be in touch with you because I'd like to try some of your product. Okay.
Yeah. We'll send you a little care package.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, I will change your life.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Thanks
appreciate
again,
it,
Bill.
Buddy.
You got it.
Okay.
You're the best.
Hey, we've got just a short time here. We're going to be bringing on Andy Masonov, our inside NFL reporter. Andy, you out there?
Gentlemen, how are we?
Hey, we're doing fine,
man. Did you hear Bill Romanowski's comments about Tommy Harrison's Bears D?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get right into it here.
Let's do it. Injury report brought to you by Wow Mobile, Al Alpha Lava. Kevin Payne and Garrett Wolf were all out of practice. Obviously, the team is on their way to San Francisco today. Desmond Clark, Tommy Harris, and Charles Tillman are all in limited participation, but expected to go. A little light on the safety situation. Look for Nate Basher to fill in there for some play. Look, it's a new week. San Francisco 49ers, they're coming off a loss from Tennessee. Alex Smith threw three interceptions, fumbled twice, and was sacked four times, all of which led to 24 points against them on turnovers. I think that's something that the Bears are going to have to capitalize on and capitalize on quick to beat this San Francisco team, obviously, with Mike Singletary facing his former team for the first time as an NFL head coach.
In my opinion, Andy, this is a do-or-die game. If you do not win this game, you can kiss the playoffs. Adios, amigos.
Absolutely, and it's a must-win for both organizations, both teams, postseason aspirations are looking pretty grim here. So it'll be a dogfight. I do look for San Francisco to play us hard, but I think at the end of the day, I've talked to some players and look, these guys are embarrassed. They're not happy with any facet of how they played. And I look for an improvement. I really do. Frank Gore on the other side of the coin is obviously a massive threat to us. He's rushed 174 yards and two TDs on 28 carries, averaging 6.2 yards average in the last two games, which is a big number. In 06, he ran for 111 yards on 12 carries against us in Soldier Field.
So, but Andy, you got to be ready for every game. Robin, you played. I mean, this defense, two out of the last 3 weeks, did not come to play. And like Bill Romanowski said, they've got to have the passion, get in that zone. This defense is not getting up to play, and Lovie Smith is the defensive coordinator. He's got to get them up.
Absolutely.
We don't have the talent.
let's face the news, guys. We are looking at basically the same team since 2006, except for the coaching staff has obviously changed at all three levels in the defense. And one can only assume that, you know, obviously, you know, if we're not playing to that 2006 standard, the fingers are going to point right at the head coach.
But what are the Bears going to do? They're not going to fire Lovie. They're not going to eat that $5 million contract and give Shanahan $10 million, $6 million, whatever he wants.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a touch-and-go situation. And right now, you know, the Bears, obviously, they still believe in Lovie Smith. And rightfully so, they're going to have to believe him until the end of the season at least. But I would not rule out that they wouldn't make a change if, like I said, I think the Bears' benchmark right now is 500. If we can come above 500, I think that you'll see Lovie Smith next year. I think if we're below a 500 team, I really don't think you will see him.
Here's why you won't see it. Brian McCaskey told us indirectly. He had to go to his mother to negotiate his contract, and she was tight with her own son. What do you think she's going to be with $5 million for Lovie and giving Bill Cowher, who I'd like to see as the coach, or Mike Shanahan money? She's not going to do it.
Yeah, it is a business, guys. It is absolutely a business, and it does come down to dollars and cents. But at the end of the day, too, believe me, the McCaskey family wants a winning football team.
Well, that's true. But with Tommy Harris's roster bonus coming up is $3 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, God.
You got to give it to Tommy.
That could be the craziest thing to give, you know. This has got to be Tommy's last year.
Urlacher, let him go. He's 32 years old, coming off a couple injuries.
Yeah, that's all right. Might as well get something for him now. Of course, he's been the face of this franchise for a long time. But you know what? Let's just face it here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the Bears, the defense just stinks, and it starts up front. The old line is below average, and it, you know, the NFL is one in the trenches. It's one in the trenches. And I did like, Romanowski's comment. The two most important positions on the football team are the head coach and the quarterback.
And when the Bears won the Super Bowl, it was Ditka, and it was Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon, you know, two real strong-headed leaders and so forth. But you know, you just had that team atmosphere. I like, you know, what Romanowski had to say is the truth and what happens, man. You got to be a team out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have the passion. And it starts like in high school football, which I saw the Mount Carmel
beat Stevenson
because they were prepared. They were prepared.
You're running reverse on the opening kickoff from the 3-yard line fumble, and I hear your favorite coach said he might come back. The Stevenson coach said he might not retire.
No, he officially called it quits.
I hope so.
He officially called it quits. So we'll see what happens there. That's another time for another subject. And I'm getting the wave sign over here across the glass here. Anyway, hey Andy, thanks for coming on, buddy.
No problem. As usual.
Nice update, nice report. Let's hope that the Bears can go out there and at least, control Gore and Vernon Davis. But, you know, if I played on defense, I'd want his jock strap. There's no question about it. Anyway, let's thank our guest today. We had Brian McCaskey with the Bears and, of course, Bill Romanowski. This is Robin Earl and David Spada. It's the Barely Legal Show. And, podcast us on 670thescore.com. As we have one of their executives in the office right now. Hope to hear from you. Talk to you next week.